This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Today's clip of the day is yes, it does pertain to the game last night. The panel on NBC after the game, discussing the Nuggets win over the Timberwolves. Here's Tracy McGrady primarily getting into why he wasn't that impressed with the Nuggets win and why kind of he doesn't really think that Minnesota is out of this series. I mean, they're winning 3-2, but here's what Tracy McGrady had to say about the Nuggets win last night and the effort from the Timberwolves without Anthony Edwards and Dante DiVincenzo. So here it is, Mike.
I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you.
With Denver or Minnesota? Minnesota.
With Denver.
Okay.
With Denver?
Yeah. Reason being, no Ant-Man, no DiVincenzo, right? And we watched this game, and it got down to 10 points. They cut it to 10 points. Mm-hmm. Look at, they had, Minnesota had 25 turnovers tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
48 bench points.
48 bench points. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, they shot 50% from the field, and they shot 42% from three. Like, yeah. They actually still
played well.
Yeah. So you cut back on those turnovers, which I'm sure they're going to address that for game six. Mm-hmm. But they really didn't have that big of a drop-off with losing these two guys because they gave themselves a chance. And if Julius Randle comes out with the mentality that he wants to be a superstar in game six and take over that game completely, and he can get Ayo and these guys and Bones and these boys to make shots and play the way they've been playing, it is not going to be an easy walk like we think it should be going into Minnesota. So I'm a little nervous because you know the crowd is going to be behind them guys. And you know those bench players and those guys going to be feeding off of that. And can Denver match that going in there? Because they haven't played well in Minnesota at all.
Okay, Michael. So a couple of problems with that. First off, maybe I'm playing with fire here, but Julius Randle had 27 points. That's about as takeover as you're going to get from Julius Randle at this stage in his career. So if you're saying he can take over a game, 30 points, basically 30 points for Julius Randle is in takeover mode. So I don't know that you're going to get that much more production from Randle. I don't know. Maybe you will. Spencer Jones, I thought, guarded him pretty good at times. He had five of those 25 turnovers. And then this idea that Minnesota was in this game, gave themselves a chance. Yes, they did for about 2 minutes. And I know. 2 minutes sometimes is all it takes. I've seen Nuggets win games where they are down a lot, and it's just like this slow comeback, and they're down 15, and then the next thing you know, Aaron Gordon against OKC is open for a three, hits it, and the Nuggets win. And you're like, wait, that was a slow comeback. I didn't even see that coming. Minnesota could very well still very easily win. Not easily, but they could win on Thursday. Yes, they can. But citing these reasons as, oh, there wasn't that much of a drop-off. They were down a reasonable enough amount, you know, at 6.5 at the half or whatever it was. And then the Nuggets took over in the third. I felt like there was a pretty significant drop off. The Nuggets kept flirting with being up 6-12 throughout the game. I mean, Minnesota, other than the first portion of the game in the first quarter, which we didn't get to watch, outside of that, it was the Nuggets pretty much in control in between that 6 to 12 point margin. And then the third quarter, they go off. The fourth quarter, they maintained until those final 3 minutes. So I get what he's saying. Like, there's definitely a belief for Minnesota. You closed out game four without Anthony Edwards and without Dante DiVincenzo. So you proved you could. I just think with the Nuggets being able to get back, calibrate, figure it out, all right, here's who we're going up against, here's what it looks like now with Anthony Edwards out, I think there was more of a significant drop off. That doesn't necessarily mean yes. Do I think Denver's going to win the series? I do. I do think they're going to win the series. I felt pretty good about it last night before the game. Feel much better about it today. If Minnesota would have cut that thing to 2 or 5, I'm a little more hesitant. But again, Minnesota went on a full rush in the last 3 minutes of the game. Chris Finch, in my mind, this is what he said. Guys, you got 3 minutes till I'm pulling you. You got 3 minutes of this game, and at the five-minute mark, you got 3 minutes to go. And I want you to go you-know-what to the wall and play the best defense you've ever played in your lives. Let's see if we can cut into this lead, make something crazy, get them to turn it over, and cut this thing to five. And I think they answered the call, but the Nuggets just kept re-answering their call. So I don't look at that and say there wasn't a big drop-off. I still don't think, like, Denver played a good game. This was their better game of the series, obviously, but I still feel like there's a lot left in the tank. I mean, I don't think we've even seen, I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. is due one, right? He's going to be due one monster game here. He's had plenty of games where he was in takeover mode. He was 1 of 3 from the three-point line. We're going to get to some point there where we see one of those games where everything's just falling for him. I think they went deep into the second and went deep into the fourth during the Jokerless minutes. Probably a little too deep in my mind from Adelman. But that's what they did, and that's why you saw a little bit of a comeback by Minnesota. You saw a little bit of a comeback in that fourth, and David Adelman decided to leave his starters in throughout the entirety of the game because he didn't want to take any chances. I get that. Making a comeback is tough to do in the NBA, but I'll tell you, man, holding on to a 20-plus point lead is also difficult because you get complacent. Brady, it's the playoffs. How do you get complacent? It is how basketball works, man. It's why you see 20-point games, whether it's regular season or the playoffs. It's why you see 20-point games between any matchup can quickly turn into a 12-point game. It's when you let that 27-point lead come all the way back into the 5-6 range. That's when it's, oh, man, they're two possessions away from tying or winning the game. Denver didn't let it get to that. They were about a possession or two away from it, from that happening. But to say that the drop-off wasn't there, there's definitely a significant drop-off. Anthony Edwards changes everything on the floor. He changed the entire tone of the series, Mike. Denver was rolling in game two, up 19 after the first period. It was Anthony Edwards who said, enough is enough, stop settling for threes, I'm going to get to the rim. I don't think Bones Highland is going, I mean, he's doing it, man. He's been a spark plug for them, and this is no disrespect for Bones Highland, but he's a guy who had to work himself back into any kind of a rotation with Minnesota. He averaged 8.5 points per game. He's having some really nice nights for Minnesota. I just don't know if that's sustainable. I mean, he had 15 last night. He had 8 the night before, 6 and 13, and then 0 in game 1. I think he's probably more of what we saw in game 4, where he had 6 points and he played 15 minutes. But I just don't know. Like, Julius Randle's a good player. But when I hear Tracy McGrady say, you know, if they can get Julius Randle to really take over in this game, then look out. I just don't know that this team is constructed or any team is constructed for a Julius Randle to be a guy that is going to go into full takeover mode. I don't see it. I mean, he averaged 21 points per game. this year. That's good. That's pretty good. But as a big man, 21 points per game, 6.7 rebounds per game, I don't see any world where it's going to be if Julius Randle is, he's going to go out there. I don't see, he's not getting 27 again. I mean, especially if Aaron Gordon's playing that game and he's somewhat healthy. So I'm talking myself into this more and more that the Denver Nuggets are going to return this series back to Denver on Saturday. And I think the as much crap as you guys want to give David Adelman, there was some coaching adjustments that took place in this game that I really liked. I mean, even going with Tyus Jones with Jamal Murray to start the second period so Jamal doesn't have to take the ball down the floor every single time and be exhausted by the time he crosses over half court. There was enough adjustments there. And I still feel like there was meat on left on the bone. I don't feel like the Nuggets have handled their turnover, the opposing team's turnovers well. You get 25 turnovers. You know why they haven't handled it well, Mike? They're one of the worst teams in the league at forcing turnovers. So if you don't do it very often, you're not running your stuff with turnovers very often. So I think for Denver, you make an adjustment to that. Yeah, we like the active hands. We like the active feet. We love those turnovers. But to just say that this group is not going to turn it over, they're not going to turn it over 25 times, but Bones Highland is still going to turn it over a few times in a game. Naz Reid's going to have turnovers. Kyle Anderson's going to have turnovers. Maybe not 25, but even if you have 16 to 20 and you could take advantage of those better, that's what I'm saying to Denver. It's like, hey, the flaw last night was you had a lot of turnovers, man. You created them, though. It's not like Minnesota just, they created these turnovers. That's why it was so exciting to see how this defense was moving around in this game. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Nuggets, though, on the offensive side, yeah, 125. That's the Nuggets, man. We haven't seen that team. We really haven't seen that team in these playoffs. You saw it during their, what was it, a 13-game, 14-game win streak, one of those included with the playoff game. You saw how good this team can be offensively. They averaged 122 points per game this season, Mike. Before last night's game, in the series, they were averaging 105 points. Adelman's not entirely wrong, and I know Brendan Vogt was not trying to go at David Adelman or the Nuggets. But when you lose games, and you lose games by more than three or five or six, it does feel like, okay, you haven't been that competitive in the series. Adelman took umbrage with that and decided to use it against the reporters and use that as his own little internal fuel to get going, and I'm fine with it. But he's not entirely wrong. When you have a team that averages 122 points per game and they fail to get to 100 because they're just missing open looks, that's an internal thing. That's on you, not Minnesota. In game four, Michael, Denver was making the correct passes. They were making the correct screens. They were getting guys open. They were getting into the paint. They just couldn't finish. How many times did you see Bruce Brown get in a $20 move, but a 5-cent finish, bounce that thing off the backboard so hard it falls off the front of the rim? That was happening a lot. Christian Brown, he's one of the better finishers, one of the better transition players in the league. And for some reason in two games, and kind of did some of that last night, he gets lost when he gets the ball down in the paint. He's afraid to go up with it. I hate to use that word afraid, but he doesn't. He's got the ball there. He fakes a guy out. Guy jumps. He still doesn't want to go up because he's worried someone's going to come behind and block him. So he passes it out. You're seeing a lot of things that are out of character. And I saw some of that even in the game last night. So I don't believe Tracy McGrady saying there wasn't that big of a drop off last night with Minnesota when they don't have their star player and one of their star role players in. I think there was a big enough drop off. Denver played with their food a bit in the final few minutes of that game, and that is why David Adelman left the starters in, because he's like, I'm not taking any chances. We're getting a little silly with this basketball right now. I mean, Joker turned one over out of passing the ball in after a made basket and just throws it right to Naz Reid, and that's an easy two. You got to be careful with the basketball. And I think Denver's going to reevaluate the way those last two minutes or so went, and they'll be adjusting that. And I, you know, shout out to David Adelman. Again, I'm lukewarm on the guy. I don't know if he is the future. You win a championship here, and that's partly going to be from some amazing coaching. But first things first, you got to get past Thursday. You got to extend this series and bring it to another game in Denver and see if you can do something crazy and beat the Minnesota Timberwolves when you were down 3-1. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. How you doing, Michael? Feeling good? Feeling good? Who you got tonight, Stars or Wild?
I'm going to go with the Stars.
Then what?
And we'll see.
Do the Wild even the series after that?
I hope so. I'd like to see it to go seven games.
I know you hope
games.
So. Yeah. Okay, so is it going
actually,
seven?
You know what? I take that back. I want the Wild to win. I hate the Stars and their fans. So
I didn't ask what you want. What do you think's going to happen? I know you're in your fanboy. You're in your onesie back there running around your Avalanche onesie. I didn't ask what you want to happen. What is going to happen?
I don't have an Avalanche onesie.
That is news to me.
Broncos onesie.
Okay, you're running around your Broncos onesie, cheering on the Avs. This could go seven, which would be great.
I think it might go seven.
Which would be great.
I thought the Stars were a lot better than I wouldn't say a lot better, but I thought the Stars would take it 4-2. I'm not so sure. I think Minnesota's giving them all they can handle. I think it does go to seven, but I think the Stars will take it in seven.
Yeah, which bodes well for the Avalanche, man. I have no, like, oh, we're worried about the rust. No, you want your opponent to get beat up a little bit. That's what you want. That will bode well for the Avalanche.
And I would like to see the Stars lose because I hate them so much.
Oh, I want to. Hey, I'm pulling the U card. Don't you want to get your revenge on the Stars? Don't you want to be the one that knocks them out?
I do. But, like, I just I can't help but, like, root for Minnesota. Like, every time I'm watching, it's like, I just want Minnesota to win.
The Wild, right? Not the Timberwolves. Let's just clarify that.
Yeah, the Vikings.
Yeah, there you go. 22 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break here. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. The future of college athletics, the future of these conversations that continue to take place. And where do we go from here? Where is that really a big issue, the age eligibility thing? And what's next that they can actually get done? We'll talk about it. Keep it here.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Big City Roadhouse. All right, Michael, I didn't take you there on our freight, which is a friendship date, last week. But I am promising right now, here and now, we will do this on Thursday. Thursday. You can't go now? What? You busy? You got plans? What, are you blow-drying your hair?
I'm texting people off the air. There's some potential for things. Not saying what, but things.
Interesting. Well, we'll see. But if you don't have things, we'll go to Big City Roadhouse.
Yes, if I don't have things.
We'll have some pizza. I think I'm going to have a smothered burrito because I've been thinking about it for a while.
Depends on what time you go, though, because if it's 10 to 12, can't you get one of those
breakfast burritos? Yeah, and they're delicious. So we could do that. We'll figure it out.
If not, we could have it delivered.
They do that, too? We could do the DoorDash thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. We'll think about it. We'll talk. But Big City Roadhouse, I was just there. I've been there a lot recently, but you know, we had our watch party there, March Madness watch party. It was so much fun. The food is amazing. I just like the atmosphere. My big thing is the atmosphere. And I ordered my wife a pizza from there like 2 weeks ago, Meat Lovers, and she absolutely loved it. So man, they're second to none in pretty much everything they do. That's Big City Roadhouse, Big City Flavor, Roadhouse Comfort. They also own the Big City Burrito in Fort Collins, and those burritos, if you haven't had them before, they're delicious. So they're bringing a lot of those concepts over here, but making it more of that sports feel, where when you go there, you go watch the games. Maybe you were there watching the Nuggets last night, so you're going to pop by, watch some NHL Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, you know, because we'll be paying attention to what happens with the Stars and the Wild tonight as well. Well, Big City Roadhouse, your official headquarters to watch the biggest games that matter to you. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, Michael, I answered a question that I had. The new age restriction thing in the NCAA, which basically they're trying to clean it up, and I thank goodness for that, because we hit the peak of the mountain on confusion with this during COVID. I didn't know how many years this guy got, how many whatever, because they added the year, plus he had a red shirt year. We are going to do away, if this passes, it's 5 years. That's it. 5 years. As soon as you graduate or you're 19 or whatever it is, you have 5 years. There will be no more red shirt freshman year. And what I have discovered in researching today, Michael, is it would affect and largely eliminate traditional injury red shirts and medical waivers. Thoughts on that? So if you get hurt, that still counts as year.
Dang, I don't really like that.
Maybe you can appeal that if it's a significant thing. If it's something really significant, you could. But the idea is that it is just 5 and 5. Athletes would receive 5 years of eligibility to compete in 5 seasons, beginning with their 19th birthday or high school graduation, whichever comes first. This replaces the current 4 seasons in 5 years model.
I don't like that.
You don't like it, huh?
I don't like the, you can't have a medical red
shirt. And that's still up in the air, but from what I've learned, what I've kind of researched here, and some of this is from Yahoo Sports, is that this would maybe eliminate the traditional injury redshirt and medical waivers. The only thing I like about it is that it's just cleaner. And it's just, I know, you're a freshman, and you're getting ready. What do you call them then? Because you wouldn't call them a redshirt sophomore anymore. So you got 5 years. You played every year. What are you, a senior? So you're freshman, sophomore, junior, senior? Senior squared?
Five-year senior.
I don't know. Is this a major issue? Is this like tanking in the NBA? It's like, this is kind of an issue, but it's not one of the major issues?
I don't think it fixes all the major issues. I don't think it fixes all the, hey, we're going to bring in 75 quarterbacks to LSU. Only 5 of you get a roster spot. The rest of you get our middle finger. And, oh, guess what? It uses up a year of your eligibility. Doesn't fix that.
But you can also play a freshman that you didn't really want to play because you wanted to reserve his minutes, but you also wanted to play him to see what kind of guy you got. So you could play him any number of time or any number of games in that freshman year, and it's you got 5 years no matter what. So I kind of like that aspect of it.
I like that aspect too. I just don't like there are certain other things that they have to fix.
I just don't know if this is. Yeah, I'm kind of with you as we talk about it now. I'm like, is this really something that we need to focus? Is this an Adam Silver tanking thing?
Yeah, this isn't the end of the world one. The end of the world one is like some of the crazy stuff that the schools are doing that like. like, I just don't understand. Like, you bring kids in promising, hey, you can, like, or in, inferring, yeah, you know what, you can have a roster spot, but, like, if you're not good enough, you're not going to have that roster spot, but congratulations, your year is wasted.
So what Ross Dellinger wrote, and this was a while ago, the policy seeks to bring some semblance of stability to a growing landscape of inconsistent court rulings regarding eligibility. The proposal aligns with the concept embedded in President Trump's Friday announcement, which instructed the NCAA to pass legislation over a variety of issues, including a five-year eligibility standard for athletes. So is this all across the board? So if I played D2 for 2 years, that still counts, right? That's still part of 5 years, isn't it?
Probably.
It would simplify things.
If it was, D2, D3, but if you're like outside of that, then is he just focusing on the NCAA?
I think it's NCAA. So whatever is under the umbrella of the NCAA, isn't it all?
Not everything.
Like what?
You have Division III, and then you have like so something else that
junior are
in,
junior colleges. They're not part of the NCAA, right?
No.
So that maybe that wouldn't count. Is that right? Let's see. I can clarify this. NCAA athletes would have 5 full years of eligibility from the time of their 19th birthday or their high school graduation. No waiver requests, red shirts, or exceptions will be permitted except for a small group of outliers, those on maternity leave, military service, or religious missions.
So the BYU kids are
protected.
Yeah, that makes sense. You have some
if you're like Faith is like
stuff.
A wonderful listener of ours. If your kid, like, what if you have some kind of rare cancer situation that took you out and you weren't back to full healthy for like 2 years? Are they going to look at that too?
Yeah, see, that's what I worry about. Like, if you pull your hamstring and you're out for hamstring purposes, like, I just can't make it in my hamstring. I just can't make it in. Like, those minor stuff, I don't know about that. But, like, if you tear your knee up very first week of the season, you have to allow them to come back for a year. You can't just waste an entire season.
Are we then saying that the time of your 19th birthday or your high school graduation, 5 full years of eligibility. So you get 5 years of eligibility from the time of your 19th birthday. So you get 5 years to the end of time. Is that right? So you have 5 years. So if I didn't start at 19, let's say I did something else.
Yeah, I think it means
the
clock is ticking.
The clock
as soon as
doesn't
you turn
start.
19, you better join a college or else. Like you could... You know, you could screw around for a while and then join Texas State and do your 5 years.
So if I played 2 years at a D3 school or a junior college, my clock hasn't started ticking yet.
D3 is NCAA.
Okay, junior college.
I don't know because
I don't know
junior
either.
Colleges do. You can transfer to the NCAA. I don't think that should hurt you at all.
But if I was, let's say I graduated high school. I was a pretty good player, but I go on a mission or I go backpack over in Europe for a year and then I decide to try out for a team. I make the team. My 5 year starts now. Like the first year that I was out backpacking through Europe doesn't count. Like it starts
yeah,
once I start classes.
I don't
classes.
Think it's going to count like that. My question would be, can you take breaks in between? Can you like, you know, you're 21, you decide to join, like you're joining college, and then you stop for like 2 years, then you do it again, you still get those 4 extra years?
I think so.
Because that's what it should be.
I think, but what would be the as long as you're going to school, it's if you're going to school and you're still considered on the team, it counts as eligibility. But if you took a break and you left the school and you're not a student anymore, then I don't believe it's counting against you. Take a pause. I don't think it's just 5 years in a row. It starts once you start. It's then 5 straight years.
Yeah, so if Clay Millen stopped going to school, got a job doing whatever, then goes back to school, he can have his eligibility back. But once he stops going to school, it basically pauses the movie.
I think so. And now what is unclear, or at least it sounds like it's unclear, it's not going to be retroactive.
And, which I don't like.
If the players completing or having completed their final fourth season of eligibility will regain a fifth season if they fail within the new policy's 5-year, if they fall. That's crap.
Yeah. You have to... There has to be some leniency,
right now.
Some leniency for the people who are playing right now.
You honor the ones that are in it. What's the harm in going one more year with this?
Yeah, there are gonna be some lawsuits by players who are playing now, and they're going to win in court, as they should. I'm glad that they're trying to make rules. These rules are better than nothing. I'd like to see some medical redshirting be at least have some kind of like policy in there. Like if it's a devastating injury, then you can appeal
right.
And it can.
So,
but like,
yeah, that's just to refresh everybody. Like under current NCAA rules, athletes are granted 4 playing seasons over a 5-year calendar, with the option to regain a season of eligibility through a red shirt or waiver request. While the new policy would grant athletes a fifth season of eligibility, the proposal sets a starting date of the 5-year clock, age 19, or high school graduation. So,
because there are some kids who,
so that's,
I don't want to say some kids who are dumb, but there are some kids who are born late in a
school
year who start.
That says to me the proposal sets a starting date of either age 19 or high school graduation. So it starts then. So there's no like, hey, I'm not going to go to college for a year. Unless you go to the military, you're on maternity leave, or some kind of extenuating circumstance.
Like religious purposes.
Yeah, religious trips, whatever. It eliminates the ability for athletes to regain seasons of eligibility through red shirts, even for medical reasons and waivers, which have complicated the eligibility system and resulted in many of the organization's legal entanglements. They're trying to clean this language up because you fight and say, hey, I played 2 years at a D2 school, so I should get eligibility. Nope, you're not getting it. But then this player says, well, I played 2 years, but I got hurt one of those years. Okay, well, we'll make an exception. We got to clean that up. It can't be like Roger Goodell issuing out suspensions here the way NCAA does decide to allow guys like Trinidad Chambliss or Joey Aguilar, who some get the extended of the eligibility and some get the denial of a request, too. So
they basically get screwed.
Yeah.
I feel like these policymakers should not only be reading the old rules and talking to players, but also listening to sports talk radio, because we're people that pick things apart. We like to pick things apart and find flaws in the system. And the more they listen to us, the more they can, you know, plug those little holes that we find in their little lawyer speak.
Yeah. All right, Mike, let's take a quick break here. 42 minutes after the hour. We're way due here. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right.
The Rockies are back at it tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. This team has been pretty damn good, Michael. Sweeping the Mets, heartbreaking losses to the Padres again. What is it about the Padres that just, you play them well, and then you lose in such a disappointing, disheartening fashion. But a lot of highlights so far in this season. You know, you win your first series, you win your second series, you win against Toronto, you sweep Houston. And you go on a little bit of a snide there after you were 6-6 and you went to 6-12. But then you battled back. You win your last game in the second series against Houston. You split with the Dodgers. Heartbreaking losses to the Padres second time around. Again, sweep the Mets. And now we're looking at it, Mike. We've got three games remaining, or is it four? No, it's three games remaining in the month of April. I guess 3 days remaining in the month of April. And we're already playing with house money. 13 wins for the Dirty 30. If we can get to 14 before we actually turn the calendar over to May, we'll absolutely take it. If you guys missed my chat talking Rockies with the first of many, Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies, you can download our podcast, subscribe to them, Apple Podcast, Spotify. You can go to 1310kfk.com and do me a favor and subscribe. Give us a rating there. We'd love to hear from you on the podcast. 49 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn coming up next?
Four Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this 28th day of April? We learned that it ain't over yet. The Nuggets survived one game at least, and we will have a Game 6 on our hands Thursday night. We think 7:30, 7 o'clock pregame. We think, of course, you can hear that game right here on KFKA. And the Rockies might get Tanner and I's Dirty 30 done, according to Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, by June 1st. Make short work of this campaign. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I learned that if you're ever bothered by my face, I can put on a mask. I can just draw a picture and just put that on there.
I was bothered by your face today. It's a nice face. I was just bothered by it today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry that my pain and anguish was bothering
you. It's out of your control, but you did find a way to control it. So thank you for that. All right, we'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.